Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. And Jesus said unto them, his disciples, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And nothing and no thing shall be impossible unto you. Verse 21, howbeit this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. And we're going to finish the series, Move. Nothing moves until you speak. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, start talking to your mountain. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell them, your mountain has ears. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we pressed pause, and I can tell you I'm so excited to be standing here than at summer camp. I'm glad when summer camp is over, because of all the good things that God has done. And then I think in my mind, another 360, I don't have to do that for another 360 days. I don't like being away from my church, my wife, my family. One of the kids told me at camp, they said, go big or go home. And I said, can I? Is that an option? I didn't know that was an option. But we pressed pause last week. We're jumping back into it just to catch everybody up very quickly on some of the things we've talked about. Nothing moves until you speak. Everything that you see in your life or in this world is a result of something that someone said. If you don't like what you see, say something different. And what's so great about that is if you don't like something you see here on July 31st, you can literally begin to shape and change and mold your world tonight by what you say. And I believe that what I start saying tonight, I'm going to begin. I might not see the finished product tomorrow or by the end of August, but I promise you that if I'll start saying different things today, I'm going to feel different about my situation. I'm going to look at that situation different than if I'm letting all that negativity and fearful and faithless talk. And so one of the great things about your confession is it can change right here, right now. You can literally begin to shape and build your world, your marriage, your children, all relationship, your ministry, your career, the business that you started and own, your money, your future. It lives and it dies by your words. Just think about all the things in our life that the enemy has robbed us of, not because he took them, but because we discarded them by our words. Saying, well, that would never happen to me. God could never do that to me because of what I've done. My family has never had that, and so I can't have that. And we literally take the blessing of God, the favor of God, the promise of God, the promised land that he has placed in front of us, and we literally push it out of our realm of reality, all because we buy into what the devil says about who we are and what God has promised. The second or third session, we talked about the first words that God said. God said, let there be. And there was. Everything that God created was spoken into existence. When it comes to man, he gets his hands dirty and forms man and breathes into him. But everything that you see, it's because God said, let there be. And I love it because God is so full of faith and authority that the moment he said, let there be light, everything started moving and shifting so that what he said came to pass. The first words that God said about man is, let us make man like us. God said, I want man to look like me. I want man to sound like me. I love this. I want man to operate like me. Meaning that God created us as creative beings that when we speak, things are supposed to happen just like when God says them. It's not a begging. We're not begging the universe. We're not begging the spirit realm. We are literally creating and speaking as God said. God's first words to man that he said to man was be fruitful, multiply, take dominion over the earth, over the creeping things, the things that swim, the things that fly, over the entire world. And then the first words that Adam says is when he names all the animals. And whatever he wanted them to be, That's what he spoke. Can I encourage you as believers that whatever you want to see, you've got to speak it. And when that thing comes walking by you, if it doesn't look like something that you want, you create and you speak over it what you want to see, and you're going to see the thing that the enemy sent in your life to be trouble. You're going to see God fashion that thing, remake that thing, remold that thing so that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. That means when things come into our lives that we don't like, we start attacking those things with the word of God, and we say, listen, I know you came to bring division, but you're going to be the biggest blessing of my life when I get through speaking over you, speaking into you, and speaking to you. So let's get to some new material. So why do people speak to mountains and nothing changes? I will be the first to answer the question that I'm about to ask you. Have you ever spoke something in faith that did not happen? Have you ever spoke something that you wanted to see and you got your best voice, you cleared your throat, you got some bass in your voice, and you looked at the mountain, you looked at the giant, you looked at the obstacle, and you spoke a word, and then you waited for that thing to happen, and nothing ever happened. Have you ever been there before? I've been there 100 times. And you feel like such a failure. And then the devil gets in your ear and says, I guess you're not as anointed as you thought you were. I guess you're not as strong of a believer as you thought you were. I guess tithing doesn't work. I guess worship doesn't work. All this relationship talk about you and Jesus, I guess you're not as tight as you thought you were. Maybe that's just me, but all of those conversations, and the devil comes in and he's just running his mouth. And you know what the devil's doing? Exactly what I'm preaching. He is speaking words, trying to create an environment for me that he wants me to live in. But I got bad news for the devil, and so do you. I've got more word in me today than I have ever had before. And so when the devil gets in this ear, I just start talking back and I put him under my feet. I tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because I've got a future, God's got a plan, and I'm going to speak to this mess until it looks like my miracle. Verse 20 of this discourse, just to catch everybody up, a father brings his son to Jesus and says, my son is demon-possessed. He tries to burn himself in the fire, tries to drown himself in the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not help him, meaning they tried and they failed. Meaning that all of the time that they had spent with Jesus, and this is where we have to guard ourselves, church. All the time they spent with Jesus, they learned how to parrot and mimic Jesus, but never learned what Jesus was really trying to teach them. That means this, that you can't just quote a scripture and think everything's going to be okay. You can't just say what Bishop says on Sunday to your mountain or to what you're going through and think that everything's going to fall in line. Because don't you know that these disciples laid hands and they prayed the right prayer, they spoke the right words, they did everything right but one thing, and they failed. And now he goes above them to upper management and says, can I see your manager? They lead him to Jesus. And here we see in verse 20, they said, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not help him. And then after everything's done, Jesus cast out the devil. The boy's in his right mind. The disciples come to Jesus privately after they failed publicly. The greatest thing you can do when you fail is get to Jesus and say, God, why is it not working? Why am I speaking to mountains and they just stare back at me and don't move? Why am I speaking to obstacles? Why am I speaking to sickness and it won't go, it stays? Why am I casting out poverty and I'm more broke today than when I started speaking into poverty? Why am I failing? And most of us will not go have that conversation with God for two things. We are prideful or we're embarrassed. And a lot of times when we fail, instead of dusting ourselves off and saying, God, teach me what I'm supposed to do so that when I speak to mountains, they move, we just get quiet, We switch churches. We get offended. All of those things work against us. And then we never open up our mouth again, because the last time we opened up our mouth and spoke to the mountain, nothing happened. Can I encourage people today? If you spoke to the mountain yesterday and it didn't work, keep talking. Keep speaking. Keep declaring the word of God. Work on your faith. Come on, Timothy, stir up your gift. You got to figure out why your words are not working. You got to figure out why that mountain is still staring you in the face. And so we know the disciples tried and failed. And so they come to Jesus privately and they say, Jesus, why is it when we spoke to the mountain, nothing moved? This is what Jesus said. Verse 20, Jesus is talking to them and he gathers them together. And he said, because of your unbelief. He said, your heart doesn't match your mouth. And when your heart doesn't match your mouth does not move mountains. It is not your mouth and the syllables that come out that moves mountains. It is when the faith in your heart as a believer rises up enough to say something out of your mouth, and what is in there now begins to come out. And it's no longer a parrot. And a parrot doesn't have vocal cords like us, but you can teach a parrot to say certain things. But when we start coming with faith out of our innermost being and we start speaking from a place and not just spouting words, that is when mountains begin to move. And so if you've ever spoken a word and nothing has happened, you've got to check your heart to make sure that your heart matches your mouth and your mouth matches your heart. It's not a mouth issue. It's a heart issue. This is what Jesus would say. Jesus gets into a discourse in Matthew 15, and I love this because this is not the Jesus that we see depicted on film. Jesus did not have a British accent. Jesus was not a wuss. Jesus flipped over tables and screamed sometimes. Jesus cracked the whip, literally. Jesus didn't call everybody brother, sister, and child of God. Some people he called vipers. Some people he called snakes and hypocrites. And so sometimes the Jesus that we see on film is not the real Jesus. And so Jesus is having a discourse with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are mad about one thing. Of everything that Jesus is doing, the one thing that they're complaining about is we saw your disciples eating bread and they had not washed their hands. That's like coming to Living Way and complaining that there's 2-ply instead of 3-ply toilet paper. Of all the things we got going on, you're going to complain about something so insignificant. And the Pharisees are looking at the law. They're not looking at Jesus who came to fulfill the law. And so they're having this discourse back and forth. And this is what Jesus says to the Pharisees. He says, people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Meaning when the disciples laid their hands and cast out the devil, they were saying the right things, they were doing the right things, but their mind was what they were going to order at Outback because they're hungry. Their mind, they were worshiping on a Wednesday night, but had their hands uplifted. They've heard these songs 50 or 60 times, so their lips are saying those songs, but their mind is already at work on Thursday morning. And the deadlines that are in their face. Worshiping with their bodies and their lips, but God said, I don't want just your lips, I don't want just your bodies, I want your heart, and I'm looking past your lips, I'm looking past all of those things, and I'm looking right at your heart. Their hearts are far from me. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Here we go. It's not that which goes into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Said the Pharisees are so concerned with what's coming this way. Come on, this is going to preach here in just a second. The church world and the Sadducees and all the religious folk are so concerned at what's coming this way and that this is what's wrong. He said, what is coming against you and into you is not what's wrong. He said, what is coming out of you is what's wrong. And you can combat anything that comes at you or is against you by what comes out of you. The problem is most people know two or three of their favorite scriptures and they can sing a song or two or a hymn or two, but when it really, the rubber meets the road and we get in front of some big mountains and we're fighting some real devils and we rear back and get ready to say something, the problem is we haven't put anything in that is worth coming back out, and we've got a generation that loves to say a couple things, quote a couple things, and nothing changes. But when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Meaning this, I've got something in me that is about to come out of me, and what is coming out of me is greater than anything that's coming at me or against me. So this is where it's at. Garbage in, garbage out. Faith in, faith out. Word in, word out. You ever been around somebody who wasn't profane until something bad happened? And then they let that string of expletives fly and they could contain it around you for a moment, but when they really got in a tight spot, what was in them started coming out of them. You know the real test to see if you're ready to move mountains? When you get stretched and you get pressure applied to your life, what comes out of you? When you get bad news, does negativity fly out? When someone comes against you, does gossip, does division come out? Or when something comes against you, do you rise up in faith and say, not today, devil. I've got a God that's fighting for me. I've got a word in me that is going to get the job done. My faith is stronger today than it's ever been. And you start quoting, you start speaking, you start beating the devil back. Why? Because when you are pressed and when you are crushed, the innermost part of you is going to come out, and we need to make sure that we are filling ourselves with the right things so that when we speak to the mountains, what is really us comes out. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you will be pressed. Tell him you will be crushed. He called the multitude and said, it's not that which goes in that defiles a man, but that which comes out. Then came his disciples and said to him, you do know the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying. People are always going to be offended when you start speaking truth, when you start speaking plain faith, when you start speaking a language that they do not understand. I got sidetracked on YouTube today, and I watched some little white ladies get mad because somebody spoke to them at a Burger King in Spanish, and they got all upset and irate. And the reason they got irate and upset is because someone was speaking a language that they did not understand, and it offended them. I am here to tell you, when you start speaking faith, when you start speaking hope, when you start calling those things that are not as though they are, people are going to be offended at what comes in. People are going to be really offended at what comes out, and they're going to come against you. But I'm going to tell you, don't back down in faith. Square your shoulders, clear your voice, get a little louder, and speak faith even in the face of offense. The greatest truths in my life offended me the first time I heard them. It got real quiet. I thought there was going to be at least three amens. The greatest truths in my life, the first time I heard them, I said, I don't like that. That doesn't make me feel good. That doesn't make me feel comfortable. That kind of stretches me. But the more I prayed about it, the more I thought about it, I said, that's a strong truth. but it is a real truth. It is a reality. And so they said, did you know that the Pharisees were offended? Verse 13, but he answered and said this, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. And I love what he says here, because he said, they be blind leaders of the blind. And the blind lead the blind, and they both fall in the ditch. So now here's what Jesus is saying. What you say affects how you see. And because they're so concerned with what's coming at them and what's against them, and they're not more concerned with the more valuable or more precious thing, which is what's coming out of them, they are now blinded by what's going on in the world because they don't have the right things coming out of their mouth. Can I tell you that what you say will affect your vision? Not just what you see. I'm talking about the God-given vision, vision for your tomorrow, vision for your future. We're talking about how do I speak to mountains and they're still not moving? We're getting down to that. It's because of what's on the inside of you. And so I've got good news for you. You've got a smartphone now that has 66 books of the Bible. You've got every commentary known to man now at your fingertips. You don't have to go to the library. You don't have to go to School of Divinity. You don't got to have a theological degree. Right there in your break room at work for 15 minutes, you can have yourself a popsicle, you can have yourself a Snapple, and you can open up the Bible and say, I'm going to get this in me. Why? Because I don't have any mountains facing me today, but I feel like there's going to be one tomorrow. I don't have any Goliaths breathing down my neck, but I know between me and my destiny, there's going to be some big things that show up. And when the big things show up, I'm going to show them what kind of big faith I've got, big word I've got. And when I open up my mouth, I will have deposited something that comes out. Make sure when it comes out, it still sounds like God. Make sure that it's not washed in your opinion. Make sure it's not wrapped in your philosophy. It is breaking my heart that we've sent so many great Living Way kids to universities that have undone in 4 years what it took us years to put in them. With the introduction of humanistic philosophy and ideology, and they come back thinking that they have evolved to a state that is greater than us faith-filled people, because they didn't have enough on the inside of them that when something was coming at them, they let what was coming at them come into them. And so you've got to have a greater flow coming out of you so that what's coming against you don't come inside. And so I've got enough word and enough faith. When I hear something that's not true, I just mark that. That's not true, because the Bible says, God says, my faith is strong enough to be able to say that's not right and combat that. And we as believers have to be able to do them. He said, let them alone, because they don't say right. They don't speak right. It's like the blind leading the blind, and they both fall in the ditch. Then answered Peter and said to him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand? Whatsoever enters in the mouth goeth in the belly, and it casts out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Luke 6:45. I love this. This is King James Version. We'll also read in the NIV. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But an evil man out of the treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you've got a good heart, good things are going to be said. Wrapped in faith, they will move mountains. If you do not have a good heart, good things will not be said. And listen, remember, good versus God, they might even sound good, but if they're not in faith and they're not from a place of learning, you're going to speak to the mountains and they're not going to move. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. This is what the NIV says, and I love it. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. But I love the last sentence of this verse in the NIV. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So what you say is a direct correlation to what your heart is. Whatever it's full of, that's what you're going to talk about. Whatever it's full of, that's how you're going to talk. It's amazing to me the things that I learned as a kid, or the things that I grew accustomed to as a kid, that I just took them as the truth and I really didn't even try to understand them. And one of the things that I've just been thinking about, and I've just been thanking God on my own walk, and this is very VBS in Sunday school, but maybe it's going to help somebody today. But you remember when you were a little kid, and maybe you don't because you got saved later in life, but when I was little in Sunday school and in children's church, they would ask, does anybody want to invite Jesus to come live in their heart? I heard that all of my life. I never understood it like God showed it to me the last few months. Does Jesus live here? No, he lives everywhere in me. He's got my mind. I've got the mind of Christ. We've already talked about the Spirit. He's got the Spirit of God is in me. But I do believe that part of him lives in my heart. I've got to have Jesus in my heart because the Bible also says your heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? That's a declaration BC, before Christ comes in. You and I now have Jesus, the mind of Christ, the Spirit of God, and we have him living in our heart. That means our heart is no longer deceitfully wicked. It is now righteous. It is now a place where God dwells. It is now a place where God lives and inhabits, which means now my heart is full of things that when I open up my mouth and there is an overflow, an expression from my heart through my mouth, now I'm saying the right things. Meaning this, if you're not saying the right things, it's not a mouth issue. It's a heart issue. Meaning on Sundays and Wednesdays, we get real close to God in here, but we don't take him out there, and he's not living in us. We are basically visiting him on the weekends or on Wednesdays or whenever we open up the word, but we're really not living the life of a believer. The mouth only speaks what the heart is full of. Saying the wrong thing is not a mouth issue. It is a heart issue. The disciples came to him and privately said, "Why could we not cast him out?" Jesus in verse 20, back to our original text, said, because you have little faith, because I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. We love to shout that, don't we? That's a great faith-filled verse. All of it depends on our heart, and all of it depends on how we live our life privately, not publicly. The reason we fail to move mountains is because we've gotten really good at acting the part in church and in front of other saved folk. But when it comes time to cast out devils, heal the sick, and move mountains, when we open up our mouths, we are just parroting what we've heard someone else say, and we don't really have it in our heart. It is not founded in faith. It is just words and syllables put together. And when it hits that mountain says, there's no authority behind those words, and so I think I'll stand right here. Verse 21, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Jesus said, disciples, you said the right thing. You laid hands, you did the right thing. You've seen me do it 100 times. You did it exactly like I've done it. But the one thing that you didn't do is you didn't prepare privately for what you were going to have to do publicly. If you fail in public, it is because you failed to prepare in private. This is what we say about prayer. Prayer is what we say in private. Fasting is what we do in private. If you don't prepare privately, you can't produce publicly. My public proclamation should match my private declaration. And this is where we kind of miss it. Because, I love my friend, I say friend, I love my peer in Louisiana that says money cometh to me. I love that. And I believe it. But if you say it and it doesn't happen, it's because you're just saying something publicly that you haven't prepared for privately. So if you need money, you can't just stand in your front yard and say, money, 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 money. Come on, money. I'm speaking to the mountain of debt. Move, move, move. Millions of dollars. Come and find me. And then just sit down and wait. Is this the car? Is this the one that's going to come and give me $1 million? Oh, she's getting out. Is she walking down this way? Oh, wait, she's just power walking. Okay, hi. This is what it should really sound like. In my secret place, God, I thank you for all that you've done in my life. God, I thank you for the job that I have, even though it's not the one that I want. It's the one that I have right now, and God is paying the bills. But God, I pray that God, in the next few days and months, Lord, that you would lead people to my life and into my life that are going to bless me. I pray, God, that you would order my steps so that I can meet the right people that are going to have the job that you created for me. God, I'm going to keep tithing and I'm going to keep giving, even though I'm being stretched and even though it doesn't make sense now, God. I'm going to keep praying, God. I'm going to keep giving, God. I'm going to keep serving, God. I'm going to praise God with all those testimonies that Bishop reads. I'm going to praise God with those people. Even if you choose to bless them first before you bless me, that's all right, God. I know that you're going to do it for me. God, I thank you that I've never been homeless. Or God, I thank you that I'm no longer homeless. And God, the roof's leaking, but at least I've got a roof. And I want to thank you for everything you've done for me. And you do that in private so that when you stand out in public and you say, today is my day of blessing. Today is my day of favor. God said, you're exactly right, because you've been prophesying it in private. I'm going to produce it in public. We think it sounds like, God, I need friends. God, give me somebody. I'm through with all the Christian dating sites. Bring her to me, God, right now, out of nothing. I pray that you'd create me an Eve in my sleep. We laugh, but that's how we treat God. We just declare it on our way out to work and think it's going to happen, when it really sounds something like this. God, I thank you for, Lord, this season of singleness that I'm in. Lord, evidently I'm not ready for her because I still haven't met her yet. And so, Lord, I pray that in this time of being single, God, that you would make me the man that I'm supposed to be, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would make me strong, God. I pray, God, that you would deliver me from everything that is going to mess up a relationship and mess up a marriage. God, all the baggage that I've been carrying and all the bitterness, God, that I've carried from past relationships, I pray that right now, God, you would take all that out of me. Lord, help me fall in love with you more than anyone on this earth. And God, I pray for her right now, God. Keep her safe, God. Keep her pure, God. Keep her holy, God. Lord, keep her eyes fastened on you. And at the right time and the right place, God, when it's time for us to meet each other, God, you are going to bring us together. That's what it sounds like. And then in public, you can say, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I declare that this is my year. That's what it sounds like. That's what it looks like. And then you fast for it. And then you make arrangements for it. But you're not out on the street corner just throwing things and lofting things out of the air because you look stupid and you make God look like a liar. But when we prepare in private, and then when we get out in public and we start laying hands, and we start speaking to mountains, and they start shifting. Come on, somebody. See, there should be some times where people are wondering how you got blessed like that. Because all they see is you on Sunday morning. They don't see you back there praying on Tuesday. They don't see the times that God rolled you out of bed on Thursday morning at 4 a.m. to spend some time with him. They didn't see that time that you fasted 3 days while everybody else was down in the break room having birthday cake. They didn't see the sacrifice that you put in so that when you open up your mouth, you are not just a parrot. You are not just somebody that's here saying something you've heard. That when you speak from a place of faith. You speak from a place of authority. You speak from a place of purpose and foundation. Stand on your feet. I don't take advice from many people. I take advice from that man. I take advice from that woman and maybe three other people in my life. Still talk to one of my teachers from high school about every other week. I check on him, 71 years old. Talk with him. Visit him 3 or 4 times a year. I take his advice. A couple people, I take their advice on money situations. But one of the things I hate doing is listening to somebody give me advice that I'm doing better than. How you going to talk to me about money and I got more money than you? How you going to talk to me about raising kids and you don't have any? Or your kids are terrible. Or your kids are 4 and 5. I got a 12 and a 15-year-old. It's a different world. And so you got all of this advice coming your way. I don't take a lot of advice because it's not proven. And the reason I know it's not proven is I've watched them speak to mountains that just stand there and look right back at them. Come on, you're talking to a guy that's had cancer in his family, like in my immediate family, like 6 or 7 times. And every time it comes, mom and dad are just like, move. It's crazy. It's not even a big prayer. It's just move. You're not welcome here. That's not the promise of my God. And you say, is it that easy? All you hear is 4 letters and 1 word, move. You don't see what they're doing there. And so when you move mountains, you should make it look easy. But only heaven knows you've got 87 hours invested in that 1 4-letter word, move. And when I speak move, mountains start rumbling. When you speak move, oceans start trembling. Things begin to happen all because out of you is coming. You're speaking from a place of authority. You're speaking from a place of foundation. You put it in, and now when you're ready to speak, there's some thought. There's something there. I got 3 young people. Man, this fires me up. Young people in this altar, if you can catch this in your 20s, the next 70 years of your life, you are going to get really good at moving mountains. Janice, there are some big mountains that the devil's going to try to put in between you and destiny and you and where God has called you to be. But I promise you, if you'll get in this spirit at 20-something years old and get ready, when you say move, demons are going to be tripping over themselves to get out of your way because of what God has called you to do. In the name of Jesus, I speak, God, a move anointing. I speak a move anointing on this young lady. Joshua, I speak a move anointing. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, you brought him a very long way in a short time. God, I pray that the foundation that he is building, I pray, God, that what you have started in him, he would not lose sight of, he would not let up, he would not grow comfortable. But God, like the disciples, let him be one that asks questions, God. Why am I not successful? Why is it not working for me? And I'm here to tell you, Joshua, you're in the right place. Keep putting it in you. Keep putting it in you, because you're going to come a time where you're going to need to say it. And when you open up your mouth, mountains are going to move. When you open up your mouth, mountains are going to move. In the name of Jesus, a move anointing. A move anointing. When you say...